Blog Talk Radio.
Give the family the greeting and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum, family. Again, my name is Brother Christopher X. I live in Charleston, South Carolina. I've been registered since April of 1998. Also, I've been married now for over 12 years, and I have 4 children. That's pretty much it right there. Like my brother said before, I love my nation.
Yes, sir. And we also have, our chief executive officer, our founder of Nation Building, our boss, our big daddy, Brother Rakeem Khalik Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Well, alaikum salam, sister. You throwing me off with that. You're killing me with that, with the big daddy part. That's a killer. But I welcome all the guests on the panel to the show tonight. I couldn't think a lot enough for you. And I also thank my big cousin, my blood cousin, DJ Book Caesar, for engineering the show. And my big sister, my twin soul, my twin sister, my birthday twin, Sister Gidget. I couldn't think a lot enough for you. The chief director and protocol you know something, sister? I'm confused about your title now. You do so many things.
I'm the program protocol director.
That's right, program protocol director. We gotta throw some more titles in there for you. You're the writer. You do so many things. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And also I want to give a shout out to our DJ, Brother DJ Black Caesar. Thank you, Brother DJ Black Caesar, and assalamu alaikum to you as well. Greetings to the Nation Building family and the listening audience. And we're going to get started on our topic tonight, which is called Where Is My Man? Why Am I Never a Bride? So we're going to get started, and DJ Black Caesar has already informed us that there are a lot of people listening in queue. So let's get started. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. We cannot thank Allah enough for coming in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and we cannot thank him enough for raising up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and leaving for us as a reminder the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I greet all of you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. All right, we gonna get down to the meat of it. Now, let me just explain. Let me offer the explanation. It was not my intention to do this show. This was the birth child of our co-founder, Sister Marilyn Muhammad, who was unfortunately not able to join us tonight, but I think she is listening. I think I did just get a text from her. And so she had the idea to do the show. She was going to host the show, and I was going to be a panelist. However, things changed, and we had to go in there and modify some things. So we're finally going to get down to the nitty-gritty of this topic. We've done relationship shows in the past. We've touched on some things. We've omitted some things. So this is going to be more like in-house family business, but we really need to just kind of table this and talk about it in the raw, uncut sense of the topic. So let me explain to my distinguished panel here. I don't like to call you all guests because we're all family. I, in the group Nation Building itself and in personal conversations with several MGT, those that are single, it has been a long-going topic of a feeling of rejection, a desire to be married, but they're feeling rejected by the FOI because it appears as though the FOI are just not stepping up to the plate of marriage. And so, you know, we've dabbled on it. Like I said, we've touched on it, but let's just break it down. Let's just have a real grown person conversation about this. So, Brother Abdul, and to Brother Christopher, since both of you all are married, as in the brotherhood itself, amongst the single brothers, what are you hearing as it relates to marriage? Are the brothers talking about marriage? Are they talking about courtship? Or are they more worried about being qualified? And I'm going to start with Brother Abdul first.
First of all, assalamu alaikum to the panelists and to you, ma'am. The brothers that I speak to, one, they're worried about qualifying for the sisters mostly. Everybody's trying to be perfect. And in this world, you can't be perfect. You cannot be perfect. You have to be who you are when you come to meet or look for a mate, a sister, a brother. Just be yourself. And the brothers really want to be, I believe, something other than themselves. You know, everybody can't be a Minister Louis Farrakhan. There's only one. I'm saying there's only one Miss Lupe. There's only one you, and there's only one me. So when they realize that all they have to be is themselves and come to the table what they have, they will find mates. But on the other hand, my sister, the sisters are making it very difficult for the brothers because they're looking for the perfect FOI. You see what I'm saying? There is no perfect FOI, you know. I mean, if we're going to get down to it, we got to tell the whole truth about what it is. They're not going to find a perfect FOI. They're going to find an unfinished product. Every one of us in the Nation of Islam is an unfinished product. And to really complete that job, you need a sister that's understanding and patient. They must have patience. The brothers, on the other hand, ma'am, are looking for a Khadija. There are not many Khadijas out there, you see what I'm saying? Because Sister Khadija, may Allah give her the strength and courage to continue with how she's going on now, has the patience of Job. You know, she worked with Brother Mr. Farrakhan to get to the point that Mr. Farrakhan is today. If the sisters are willing to work with us, we can get to that point too, or close to, or whatever we need. But we need a joint venture in this. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We cannot come into this. You cannot come into this thinking that I want the provider, the sustainer, and the maintainer that the lesson teacher we are. We should be that. And we're grooming to be that, but we have not yet reached that point yet. So once both sides realize that we have to help one another get to the level of what we have to do to get to be a good relationship, you'll see many, many people getting married. Right now, the brothers are petrified because they know they can't meet that standard what they've been expected to do, not in the situation that we're in. Because remember, we're the people that were the downtrodden. How long does it take a downtrodden to stand upright?
Did I help any?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, very.
Okay.
Well,
so, okay, go ahead and finish, Brother Abdul.
So I was waiting for a train to go by.
Okay.
So I was thinking on what you had asked me to do. It's not a difficult task. I mean, it's not an easy task for us as men to get up and say we're not men yet. See what I'm saying? We're not men yet. We're striving to be men, but we're not men yet. Okay? And what sisters are looking for, they're looking for the man. But we're not the man yet. We're striving to be the man. And once both sides understand that we're both in these trenches together and come together, you know, like in Atlanta where I'm at the mosque, we have a sign that we put in the yard. It's called Love and Unity. Those two things we have not tried yet. We've tried marching, we tried picketing, we tried fighting, we tried everything, but we have not tried love and unity. When we show true love and unity towards one another, you'll see many, many marriages, many, many courtships.
Yes, sir.
So I understand that.
Okay, Yes, sir. Okay, and Brother Christopher, what is your take on that? What are the brothers, single brothers amongst you saying? Or how they're viewing marriage and courtship?
Well, in my conversation with some, it's basically, like Brother said, one thing is it's dealing with finances or trying to get yourself prepared for it. You know, we sometimes hit them with the, you know, brother, you got to have a job that's going to take care of, you know, yourself and the woman. You know, having a car, decent apartment, whatnot. you know, and some brothers, they may have that, but they're afraid that they're not going to be able to financially take care of their sister, especially if she has children or whatnot, because he takes on that too. My conversation with one brother, you know, he has several children out there, so he's taking it on himself, saying, man, I have to take care of this one, and then if I bring a sister in that may have children, you know, I have to take on that. I don't think I'm going to be able to. So there's like a scaredness, you know, don't want to be a failure in a sense, you know. But I, you know, we have to understand, like brother said, I tell them, you know, you got to look at coming in. You're not perfect. She's not perfect, but y'all working together. Y'all going to strive to make both of y'all whole together. You know, another conversation that I see on the flip side, though, you know, was kind of intimidating. Like, just an example, you know, some sisters, you know, you're looking for a husband, but, you know, you're looking for a man trying to be attractive. And it was funny, this one sister, I saw her, she was broke down, but yet she's on the side of the road pushing her car. You know, and I'm like, you know, that's kind of intimidating to some men, seeing a sister pushing a car on the side of the road, you know. So I'm like, wow, you know, how are you going to try to attract a man by doing some things? So I know sometimes you're single, you have to take on a lot of things that a man would normally do, but sometimes it's all right to let that down or be helpful, in a sense. You know, but just in more conversation with the brothers, you know, it's more of a, you know, looking for that perfect woman. And, you know, and I'm saying, how can you look for that perfect woman when you're not perfect yourself? You know, looking for a virtuous woman or look, you know, that's fine. But at the same time, strive to work on yourself and then work on your purpose. And then on that road to find your purpose, Allah will find that mate for you. So.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, and then we have Brother Rakim, who is not married. And Brother Rakim, amongst the brotherhood of single brothers, and you being a single brother yourself, you know, what's going on with that? What is the conversation like, and what is the mindset when we're thinking about marriage? You know, when the brothers are thinking about marriage or talking about marriage.
My sister, I'm gonna be honest with you. Your brother Rakim is like a lone pimp. I don't really just. It's bad to say, but I don't really do a lot of discussion with a lot of brothers about a lot of things. I don't really hang with a lot of brothers. I'm just a loner, basically. But what is that?
Huh?
Okay, I just heard something. But
Oh, that's Brother Abdul. I think he's still at work, but he was gracious enough to take time out of his schedule to be on the show, so you might hear some things.
Yes, I heard some things. Like, I heard something like, wow, okay, but, you know, that's another story. But I will say this, and I'm going to be very careful. Oh, wow, the noise. Okay. This is what
okay.
We're going to do.
Brother Abdul, can you
talking?
Put your phone on mute until I call your name? Because I think they can't hear. Okay, Brother Rakim, can you hear now?
Yes, ma'am, I hear very well. But I'm going to be
okay.
Very careful about what I say, especially since we live on air. I'm going to be very careful. We did say the show was going to be raw and uncut. I don't want to get too raw, but I will say this. The few brothers that I have talked to, they say that some of the sisters act like they're, let's see, what's the word, shall I say? Let me be safe, because I know some sisters listening to the show, and I really don't care about what people may say or think about what I'm about to say. I'm just going to make sure I say it in the right context. I'm going to say it in the right context. Just give me a minute. Give me a minute. Give me a couple of seconds. I will say this. I will say that some brothers say they think that some of the sisters think they're just too much. You know what I'm saying? Some of, or they're too vain or too what's the word I'm looking for? Conceited or whatever.
Okay.
They looking for, just like Brother Abdullah said, they're looking for the perfect FOI. And how can you look for the perfect FOI when, damn it, you're not the perfect sister? You know what I'm saying? You're not the perfect MGT. I mean, we still look at this relationship and marriage thing from a Negro or lost found point of view. I mean, we're supposed to be a civilized, well-learned, well-studied people, but we still are not focusing on ourselves, and we focus so much on the faults or the finances of the next person. I mean, when Minister Farrakhan and Sister Khadija got married, he wasn't rich. I mean, they were struggling. They were poor. Under Brother Elijah Muhammad, they were struggling. They were poor. So my thing is this. What makes a woman think that a man has to be wealthy? And I'm going to tell you about a conversation I had with a sister one time. And it really disappointing because some sisters, like Brother Abdullah said, they do look at finances of a brother. Now, I ain't no broke brother. I got my own everything. But at the same time, you got some sisters that think what a brother got ain't good enough for her, so she want to move on to the next person. And these are the sisters that are single right now because they're not looking into the hearts of a man. They want to look into the bank account of a man. And that is not right. And so, in their quest to find the perfect man, they find themselves in a perfect mess. And that's being alone, single, all by yourself, watching television, getting fat. I don't know what you're doing, but you're lonely. You're by yourself. Depressed, stressed out.
Wow.
Hair turning gray.
Okay.
Hair turning gray at a young age because you're worried about a man's finances, but you're not looking into his heart. His heart, his spirit, his this is what make a man, his heart, his spirit. I mean, his, you know, how he carries himself. I mean, if he don't have money, it ain't how much money he making, really, it's how he use it. You got some men that go out and they spend money on a lot of foolishness, but you got men that are struggling paycheck to paycheck that are really handling their business like a man. And I was always told as a child growing up that, just like, for example, if you got a car, you got a raggedy car, and you're not taking care of that car, how can you expect Almighty God Allah to bless you with a better car? You ain't going to take care of that car either. So what I'm saying to the sisters is this right here. You got to learn to love and appreciate a man for who he is. You got to get to know that man. Don't look at his finances because you may be overlooking a jewel. I mean, the one woman's trash may be the next woman's heaven on earth. You know? That might be her diamond. You know, that's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm trying to choose my words wisely, sister.
I see you struggling with it, bruh.
Yes, ma'am.
But that's okay. That's okay. So overall, what I'm hearing from you and Brother Abdul and Brother Christopher, you know, it's a two-sided coin. You know, we have sisters who are not looking at the brothers in the correct format, so to speak. They looking at you like dollar signs because that's what you're feeling sometimes. Are they looking at you to be Minister Farrakhan and, you know, instead of looking at who you are, getting to know who you are, they're measuring your qualifications by the size of your bank account and not your capability because, you know, Minister Farrakhan said that a man needs to be a producer. He doesn't necessarily have to be rich, but he needs to be a producer. He needs to be able to, you know, forge his way in the world and make a living for his family and maintain his wife. And we're living in very tough economic times right now. And so sometimes even with two incomes in the household, it is still a struggle. And so I think we have to come into a realistic view of what is going on, because if you're waiting on a brother to be at a certain financial status, this economic system that we're in now, under the circumstances, that may not happen for a while. Not to say that the brother's not able to produce, but you got to have some realistic goals out there. And that's what I'm hearing y'all say. And then as far as the sisters thinking they're the perfect MGT, well, I'm going to tell you like Minister Roberts said, you are supposed to think highly of yourself, but you are mistaken to think too highly of yourself. So if you got your nose so high in the air that you drown in a drizzle, then you probably want to bring it down a peg or two. Because, you know, I talk to brothers all day, every day, you know, every day of the week, single brothers, married brothers, and, you know, we have some beautiful single brothers out here. We have some beautiful single sisters out here. So I'm not getting why my sisters are feeling so heartbroken. And I know people say you're partial to the brothers, and I know I am. Okay, I own that, okay? I atoned for it this past weekend, trust me. But I hear my sisters, and I know that they're hurting. And women are emotional. That's just part of our nature. But what I'm also seeing in that process is a breakdown of the spirit, because sisters are becoming discouraged. And they're becoming discouraged about a lot of things that go on that we, you know, we just don't want to talk about on the air because it's family business and we don't want to, you know, kind of disrupt the image. But we're going to talk about it tonight at whatever cost, because we're going to get this out in the open and over with. But before we move on, I'm going to check with DJ Black Caesar. Do we have any questions, Caesar? Caesar, does he have his phone on mute? Caesar.
He may be on the other line, sister. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. I wanted to check and see. Okay.
I'm here, ma'am. We don't have anybody in queue that has a question, but we have a lot of people in queue.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so I'm going to go on to the next question, and this is a touchy subject. I really don't want to get on it, but I'm going to have to.
Oh,
so, Brother Abdul, can you mute back in? Can you talk to us?
Yes, ma'am. I'm back now. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir. Absolutely. I want to ask in your opinion, because you are a what I consider a newly married man, because you've been married for 3 years. Brother Christopher, you've been married for 12 years. But let's go back in time a little bit. Let's look at prior to the marriage. Were the lost found sisters, I don't like to use the word threat, but were they a threat to the MGT when you were single and when you were considering a mate? How often, if ever, did you look to the lost found as a possibility for a wife? Now, I'm going to start with Brother Abdul.
Well, again, no. Because
okay.
I can say it honestly, because once I got the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad into my heart and mind, I couldn't have nothing less than MGT. Because I understand that I can't have nobody in the club and I'm going to mob. I can't have nobody going to the church and I'm going to the mob. I was looking for someone that was in this mob as much as I was, because if anybody knows me, and your minister, Brother Robert, knows me quite well, I almost live in the mob. Without the mosque, I'm lost. So I can't go outside the mosque to find a mate. I might go to another city, but I won't leave the mosque. You see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, if you get a person that doesn't believe as you believe, you got 1 foot out the marriage already, you know. Because I found out in the relationships that I see, most of them, not all of them, that most of the time, either one's going to go with the other religion or the other one's going to go with the other one's religion, one or the other. It's going to be one or the other. Because I'm sure that I couldn't see me dropping my wife off at the church, then going to mosque, then coming back to the church and picking her up. Or letting the lost found bring her home. No, I couldn't do that. No, I never even had a church. Not good to no, never, no. I can't even imagine them being with a lost found person. Not that it's a sin or something, but it's just something I couldn't do. You know, I gave a promise to a man that I would follow the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And once I give my word is bond, I can't go backwards. Going with lost found is going backwards.
Yes, sir. Okay, and Brother Christopher, so what was your experience like prior to your marriage? Did you ever consider a lost found? And, you know, if so, how did that play out in your mind?
No, I didn't. And one, because, you know, going to Savior's Day, you know, I wanted to, everybody who, when I went to Savior's Day with our mosque, you know, everybody was married, and they was there with their spouse, and they had a good time, and, you know, because they shared, they both seemed like that event was something special to them, and I wanted somebody that would love that event, or, you know, or recognize Savior's Day just as much as I did, and, you know, so I never looked at, after I became registered, you know, looked at a lost found sister as being my girlfriend or wife or anything like that, because, you know, I wanted somebody that believed as I believe. I didn't want to have to question, you know, whether she was still eating swine and whatnot. You know, I don't want to be kissing nobody in the mouth and eating that nasty shit with that chicken eye worm and things like that, you know. Like Brother said, you know, wondering if she's out there in the club, or, you know, and having to deal with and argue with just, you know, just dress and how you should act and stuff like that. You know, you can't find a war on 2 fronts. You know, so my desire was to marry a MVT. And so I looked inside, you know, the mosque. And that was my purpose. I didn't want to go outside that because I didn't want to deal with anything extra. And I knew if I would have to go outside the MGT, then I have to deal with a whole bunch of problems. That's
how. Yes, sir. Okay. And Brother Rakim, you're a single man, and how can I put this without putting your business in the street? How can I put this?
I know it's been an uphill climb. We can talk about it.
As far as being able to establish a relationship with an MGT, and part of that, a great part of that, Brother Rakim, is because of your location in the state of Mississippi at mosque number 78. There are not a lot of single females available. Most of the MGT, from what I understand, you say, in that mosque are married, or they're, you know, significantly older or whatever. And so the believers in where you are is a very small community of believers there. So, you know, we do have, you know, an extended information technology system that we use. You know, they have Islamic dating sites, they have Facebook, MySpace, you know, whatever else space you may have out there. And it's been a way to meet people. It's how I've met everybody that's on this line tonight was through Facebook. And so I know it's been a battle for you, Brother Rakim. So, you know, in all honesty, how are you looking at the lost found versus the MGT?
I'm going to be honest with you, sister, and I'm always a brother. You know me. I keep it raw. I keep it real. I keep it uncut. I ain't going to fake the funk with nobody. I'm going to tell her how it is. You know,
yes, sir.
With all respect to my brothers who never looked outside the mosque, for a sister. I mean, most of the sisters I knew inside the mosque, especially where I am, they were lost found. And brothers, I want every brother on the line, I mean, listen to the show, to the show, to understand something. Every sister inside that mosque, unless they were born inside the Nation of Islam, they were lost found before they became Muslim. They were lost found before they became a Muslim. And I will say this, the best way a brother can qualify himself, and I'm not talking about no damn money when I say qualify himself. I'm talking about taking these teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad has given to his body, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, taking these teachings upon them to your life and giving life to a dead sister. Because a lot of these sisters, and I got some friends, they are Muslim, they are MGT, and they said if it wasn't for their husbands, they would have never come into mosque. As a matter of fact, some of these sisters rejected the teachings, just like a sister, for example, you might have a sister. Oh, she's smoking crack because her brother's smoking crack. She's smoking weed or drinking because that brother's smoking weed. Some of these sisters, they rejected the teachings, and some of them came into the teachings because they came in contact with some brother that were in these teachings. So I'm not going to say I discriminate against them. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you got some sisters in the mosque, they came to mosque under false pretense. I met plenty of lost found. Oh, I would go to the mosque. I ain't seen them at a mosque yet. You know what I'm saying? I haven't. And so me being in the location that I am, it's a struggle finding an MGT. There are no MGT here. I had one brother. It's a good friend of mine. Bless his heart. He married a sister that was significantly older than him. And he's telling me, he come to me, and Sister Gidget, you my sister. I mean, what the hell it look like for me, being 40 years old, marrying somebody 65 or 70 years old, just because they're MGT in my mosque? Oh, that ain't happening.
Well, I would hope it would be love, brother, but I hope it ain't. Well,
sister,
let me shut up.
And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean no offense to nobody, and I'm raw. I'm telling you, y'all should never put me on this damn show tonight. Not at all.
Yeah, you
but
need
I
to get
say,
it out. Get it out.
I will say this. I got a mother and a grandmother. I ain't trying to marry another mother and no grandmother. So what I have done, I have, you know, I've went out, and, you know, as Muslim, we don't date. But my thing is this, if I am to be with a woman, she would have to qualify for the job. And when I, and let me go back to qualifying. When a brother qualifies himself, it has nothing to do with money. If he can bring some life into that dead body, you know the body he's looking at, or she just hips and thighs and breasts for a minute because that's only value that she see in herself. And then when he qualifies himself, he brings some life into her. Then she begin to realize that she's a black goddess queen, mother of civilization. She knows in our heart and our mind and our spirit that she's more than a piece of AWS for brothers. She starts dressing right, living right, eating right. Her spirit becomes right. This is how that brother qualifies himself. He's measured by his woman. Can't no man respect get respect unless his woman is respected. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Let me get back to what I was saying, though. On the real, I've met sisters, met them at restaurants, and I want your sisters to listen to this very well. Brother Rakim, my thing is this, if I'm choosing a sister to be my wife, that's a job. That's a damn job. I mean, you got to get interviewed for that job. You got to pass the drug test. You can't smoke no marijuana. Can't smoke no crack. You can't smoke no cigarettes. You got to pass every test that comes your way. I have met sisters at Lost Found, met them at a restaurant, and I'm telling them that I'm Muslim. I'm sitting across the table from them, and I'm ordering me a salad or maybe some tilapia or something, and you order a whole damn rack of ribs, and you know that I'm Muslim. We got a damn problem. I had a sister do that to me before, and she was like, I would love to come into the mosque, I'm just going to be real. I gotta keep it real.
I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, you ain't asking nothing real.
You told me real, brother, not at all. Let me tell you something. I gotta be real.
Okay.
It's one sister in particular. I'm sitting, you know, I'm meeting at the restaurant, whatever. We had what's the name of it? Applebee's, 2 for $20. Okay. I'm telling you. I'm sitting at the table with this sister. I'm Muslim. I'm FYI, and you know, and I'm telling this sister, I'm telling her my beliefs, and you know, and I'm explaining the Bible to her, and you know, I'm explaining everything to her because I'm trying to qualify myself. Really, I'm trying to make me an MGT because, damn it, I can't find one. You know what I'm saying? And most of the brothers I know, they married lost found, and those lost founds are now MGT in the mosque.
Right.
I mean, most of these brothers, before Facebook, they never ventured outside the mosque or ventured outside the church in order to find the MGT. They had to make their own MGT. They had to bring a woman that was willing, in the mosque that was willing to come under these teachers that we have. So now we're blessed, like Sister Gidget said, we're blessed with all this technology. We got Twitter, we got MySpace. We got Facebook, you know, so a lot of brothers. And I know some, not personally, but I got some friends on Facebook that have found their wives right there on Facebook. They are relocated, got married, you know, had children or combined the family like the Black Brady Bunch or something, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
God bless those. I mean, all praise be to Allah. They made it work. But a lot of brothers, they had to really qualify themselves and make an MGT out of a lost found sister. And so I had that attempt. I had a sister recently. We do the 220, and I'm like, Lord, I hope this sister, I'm looking at the menu, I give me a nice salad, and I'm like, I'm hoping this sister orders something kosher, you know what I'm saying? This sister ordered a whole damn rack of ribs. And I'm going to feel like, am I paying for this shiznit? You know what I'm saying? Because me being a brother.
Yeah, you
pay it
2 for $20.
I'm not going to let a sister pay for her own meal, me being a man. I'm not going to do that. So I'm up here like, I don't expect a sister to not, you know, one thing about a sister, they must be themselves. I want to see her whole personality, whole character around me. And
yeah, you got the whole hog that night, though, didn't you?
Oh, man, the oink and all that. But you know something? I paid for the rib, and that was the last damn rack of ribs I paid for because guess what? That sister, when I left out of Applebee's, you know what she asked me? She said, Rakim, she said, what's the verdict? Are we going to try this courtship thing or what? I said, sister, you just ate a whole damn rack of ribs. You know what I'm saying?
Hold that.
Okay, Brother Rakim, hold on. Just stay right there. We're going to check the line. Caesar, do we have any callers with a question?
No, ma'am. We don't have anybody.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they don't have any questions. Brother Rakim is scared them off. Okay. All right. So now let's stay on the live time a little bit because I'm going to tell you what I've heard. Now, I'm a brother sister, y'all know that. So I would never reveal any conversation I've had with any brother ever. But in general, what I've heard, not from the brothers, from the MGT. Now this is what I've heard. This Sister Gidget is not saying this is actual fact. Let's make that a record. This is the disclaimer right here. This is what I've heard. I don't know this to be actual fact, and I don't know anybody in particular that has done this, but I have heard the MGT say that they are livid with the FOI because many FOI will go and get a lost found. Now, walk with me. go and get a lost sound, bring her into the mosque, expect that sister not only to embrace her, but train her up to be an MGT, will marry that sister, you know, after she comes out of processing and gets her ex or whatever, and there have been many sisters that were in the mosque at that time, that have been in the mosque, that have been registered, that have their exes and Muhammad's and everything else, and they have just been overlooked. And the sisters are very upset that brothers are going out and finding these lost sounds and bringing them in, or they are actually marrying the lost sound under whatever circumstances they're marrying them. Now, here's the thing on that. If you bring a sister in and she accepts the teaching, you know, it leaves the MGT the question. You know, is she accepting the teachings for her, or is she accepting the teachings for him? And so that's always a lingering question. And so if the marriage goes sour, is she going to go south? You know, is she going to turn hypocrite overnight because the marriage went sour? Or is she going to stay in there in the mosque? Now, this has happened often. So, Brother Abdul, I mean, you know, are the MGT justified in being upset about this, or should they accept the fact that this is who this brother loves and this is who he's chosen to marry, and they just going to have to deal with it?
Can I help? You
yes,
finished, ma'am? Can I be first?
Yeah, who is this?
Abdul Rob.
Yeah, that's who I was talking to. I was talking to you.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm glad you were. Because, one, ma'am, a lot of times, the minister did a lecture about sisters don't really like it. Man in a Mission. Have you seen that DVD, that lecture?
I think so. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, anyway, a man don't want to be talked down to. A man don't want to be ordered around. And a lot of times, there's a lot of sisters that are in the nation right now. I don't know if it's because of their training. I don't really know. But they like to take charge. You can't take charge in my house. You see what I'm saying? They ain't number one set of pants in my house. I wear them. You know? And I'm not a male chauvinist or something like that, but I believe that, you know, in a household, there got to be a head, right? And a lot of times,
yes,
the sisters don't want to give that up. Because if you've been living 2, 3, 4 years by yourself, you've been making all your decisions on your own, they have to make that shift to get that up. You see what I'm saying? They got to get that up. Because the man got to be the man, you know. Ain't no man want to be the woman, you know. And a lot of times the MGT put the man almost in a position where you say, I'll take a charge and post on some property in view. And the men not going for that, ma'am. They're not doing it. No, ma'am. They're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. No. So I believe that if we get together as a whole, I would like to have a joint MGT FOI class. We need to have some of those. We can sit down and discuss. Like we have a discussion right now. We need to have that open forum together. So that,
yes,
I don't know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I believe that the brothers are looking for a woman. They're not looking for another man. You know what I mean? I've had instances, man, where I walk to the car, and they don't get to the car to open the door before I do. They won't open the door before I do. I say, since I carry your bag, you tell me, oh, no, I got it. Oh, you got it? You got the bag?
Now, okay, wait a minute, Brother Abdul. Hold on.
Yes,
now.
Ma'am.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there for a minute, because I'm gonna throw a curveball at you right quick. Now could it be though? Now you look at it. You know, we are creatures of habit. So you have to look at if this sister is in the workforce and if she's going through her daily life being solely independent on her own, you know, totally mm-hmm. dependent on self. You know, she has to paint the house. She has to change the oil in the car. She has to pack all the groceries in. So she's used to opening doors herself. Could it be that she is just so used to that and that maybe the only time she's extended the courtesy of a man is when she comes to the mosque, but you have to look at maybe 6 days out of the week, she doesn't have that courtesy extended to her. So it could be just a habit. Could that be the case as well?
It could be. I'm not giving an excuse for the brother not being a sister, ma'am. I'm saying just what actually does happen. And that could be the case. But if that's the case, she has to look into herself and say, well, Joe, I got to let this man be who he is. If I want a man, I got to treat him like a man. You know what I'm saying? If you don't treat him
right.
like a man, he's not going to want to say yes. But I personally go back to what I said about the law of found sister. There's not nothing the law of found sister could do for me. No, but I did leave out that there are some beautiful long-found sisters out there. And, you know, your eyes attract the beauty. You look and see like a flower. You look at a flower, flower beautiful. But you don't pluck every flower up that's in the garden, you know. You got to leave that flower where it is and leave it alone. That's the same way with the long-found women. Because they try to make themselves attractive to the FOI. Because they're looking for a man. The long-found sisters. They're looking for a man,
right.
And they know that there's a man in that mosque. You know, they know there's a man in the mosque that's gonna open the door, carry the bags and stuff like that. So they're gonna do everything they can to try to attract to that man. You know, but if we have sense as men, we understand the trap of that. If you've been around, I'm not no young man. I'm not no old man either, but I'm no young man. So I see most of the game that they play, and it's just something that I can't do. But to go back to what you said, my sister, I believe that could be true. Because the sister's been alone for years, and she does that on her own. That could possibly happen. But she has to understand, though, that when she comes to get an FOI, we're going to be FOI. Let us be who
yes,
we
sir.
Are. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Okay. And let me just tell my engineer, Caesar, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we have some people, they say they're trying to get in the chat. I don't know if it's open or not, but we had a question in chat, and she said she...
Okay, I'm going in now. It was closed down.
Okay, and so, Brother Christopher, let me ask you the same question about the lost found. Are the sisters justified in being angry about a brother bringing in a lost found, or should they just accept the fact that that's who he loves and that's the way it is, and they shouldn't feel that rejection? What do you think?
You know, I don't want to say they're justified, but I mean, in some cases...
Can you talk up a little bit, Brother Christopher, so we can all hear you?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm saying they may not, I don't want to say they're justified, but, I mean, they may have been in the mosque, you know, 5 years, 10 years, got their Muhammad X, but it may be something that the brother in the mosque may see that he may not like, you know, so it may not be compatible. He may not, just in the conversation in the study group or in the dialogue or just seeing her in her actions or whatever, he may not see something that he likes. Of course, he could probably try to work it out, but maybe he doesn't want that, you know. So, you know, I don't see nothing wrong at sometimes going out and inviting a sister into the mosque to come into the class, you know, to see if she loves Islam, and she goes through the class, and, you know, it looks like she's going to be, you know, beautiful for her sister loves me. No,
okay, wait a minute, Brother Christopher, wait a minute. Okay, Brother Abdul, I'm going to have to ask you to mute out again because I'm getting some interference.
Okay. Hold on.
But I'll call you when we're ready. We're going to be ready for you in a second. Okay, go ahead, Brother Christopher, I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's they shouldn't be too mad because that means there's something wrong. There's something that's not being produced in the class, you know, that would make them attracted to the FOI. And like Brother said, you know, sometimes, yeah, you know, some sisters who having to do things by themselves, you know, for a long period of time, you know, they become demanding. And you have to let a man be a man, you know. So, you know, a lot of times, no man ain't going to, of course, he don't want to marry his mother, you know. And he's got a child. No.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Even with me now, you know, for the years that I've been married, with my, you know, I've been holding it down financially and everything, and operating due to a lot. But I came this year, you know, I was one of those corporate, you know, working, you know, making big money, you know. But then I lost that. You know, wife didn't have to work. Now she's working. I'm not working, but I'm working. But she's making majority of the money. You know,
mm-hmm.
So but at the same time, I'm still the man. She has allowed me to be the man. And, of course, you know, she jumps out the car sometimes before I can get around there to open the door. You know, but I have to tell her, you know, let me do that. You know, because you're making a couple more dollars don't mean that you got to be all aggressive. Let me do that for you, you know. But, you know, we laugh and giggle about that, you know. But at the same time, a man got to be a man, and a woman has to let the man be the man. You know, and she can't sit there and point and try to move a man, you know, force you like that, because he's not going to respond to it. Like, so he's going to venture out, and he's going to sometimes go out there and try to get a woman who will submit to him instead of a woman giving him orders.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so
okay.
Forget
yes.
We do have a question, Rick, if you don't mind.
Okay, yes, and somebody, Fees, if you could, before we take that question, could you give them instructions on how to ask questions in chat, because that's the question that I'm getting in the inbox.
Okay, yes. The way you ask questions, if you have a question to ask us on the show, press 1 on your keypad, and then a question mark will light up by your area code, and I'll call it your area code, like 480-480. You got a question, you want to make a comment, go ahead and make it, please. You can make a question or make. Go ahead and make a ask a question and make a comment.
No, that's Brother Abdul.
Okay, check it out, guys. This is another thing you need to do. Don't press 1 on your keypad, because if you press 1 on your keypad, that means I'm gonna call your area code, and I don't know who's who. So, guys, don't press the keypad if you don't have to. Thank you.
Okay, and what about the chat room? Because somebody's saying
check
they
it
can't
out, guys. This is what you need to do in the chat room. I have the chat room open now. Nobody's asked a question in the chat room. The only person in the chat room is me, Nation Billing. So if you got a question in the chat room, please make the question. Don't tell me that you got a question and you don't have one, because I'll see what your question is. Now then I'll repeat your question to Sister Gidget and the panel, and then they'll answer it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I guess I don't know if she's in or not. Okay. Maybe she'll get in a minute. Okay. All right. So, Brother Rakim, are you there?
Yeah. I'm still here, sister.
Okay. So, as it relates to how the MGT feels, are they justified in being upset or disappointed or feeling rejected when a brother decides he's going to?
I don't think they're justified, sister. I don't think they're justified. I got to be truthful, because if you sit in the mosque, even if you sit in the church house, every man that walked through that damn door ain't your man. Just because
okay.
You in the mosque don't mean that man is promised to you, or you belong with him and he belong to you. I mean, my thing is this right here. We all in the Nation of Islam, just some of us registered, some of us not registered. I mean, you got a sister, they'd get upset because a brother bring in a lost found. My thing is, how you think you got there? What were you before you came into the mosque? You eat pork chop just last week. Going at the club with your butt out all just last week. But today you're an MGT, now you're upset because a brother brought in another lost found when you were a lost found at one point yourself. I mean, no, you're not justified. Now, this is the thing. If the brother's not attracted to you, he is attracted to you if you don't have no chemistry for his personality? I mean, that's not your man. I mean,
right.
You see what I'm saying? It just was not meant to be. So no woman or sister in the MGT class should feel upset, because my thing is this. Even if this brother chose another MGT and she was attracted to that brother and he chose another MGT besides her, hell, she'll still be upset. She'll be upset regardless, because she feel like she wasn't picked. She feel rejected. She feel hurt. She feel humiliated because she been looking at this man or been attracted to this man, and this man has brought in a lost found, or he married or went in courtship with another MGT. So either way it go, the sister is going to be upset. Now, when Almighty God feels fit for you to have a man, and I'm talking to you, MGT, when he feels that man is fit for you, if that man was made in fashion for you, he's not going to get away from you. Ain't no sister going to take him from you, lost, found, or MGT. That man's going to be your man. So I say to you, sister, keep your head up and stay strong. Stay patient, because it's a lot of you been divorced 2 and 3 times, been married 2 and 3 times, because you were not patient. You want to get a man because he's fine to you or he got a lot of money. I know a sister right now call herself married a brother because she felt like he had some money. Well, found out the brother didn't have no damn money. He just put it on the front just to get the sister. And now
okay, we're going to move on from that. We're not going to share personal stories.
No, sister, I'm not going to call no names. I just got, sister, you said raw, real, uncut. I just got to be real.
Right, and you know, I wanted to get back to that because I want to give these people in the chat, they're trying, I don't know if there's a problem. I'm just getting a couple of messages. I know Brother Mustafa is out there. He's trying to get in and ask a question. Sister Marilyn is trying to get in and ask a question. So I guess they're saying that they can't find access to the chat.
Sister Gidget.
Yes.
The chat room. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth. The chat room is open. Anybody wants to get in the chat room?
No, what I'm saying is that they are saying that on the link, when they go to the Nation Building, when they go to the on Blog Talk, they can't find where to go into chat, is what I'm saying. So I don't know if it's just not on their screen. I don't know.
Might be a malfunction with the main switchboard.
Okay. So yeah, let me just tell them that, and then since they inboxed me, they could just ask me the question. And
what they can do is, hey, sister, hold on for 1 second. Can I correct you? What they can do is call in to 646-716-5971. Again, that number is 646-716-5971. Call in and ask your questions, please, because I'm not seeing anything in the chat room. So if you guys call in, I'll be able to call on you, and then you can come online and ask your questions, because I'm not seeing anything in the chat room.
Okay. All right. I just relayed that message. Okay. And you know, here's the thing. I'm going to say this, and I pray it's taken in the right spirit, and I'm surprised my phone hasn't hung up yet, so I'm waiting on my phone to hang up because the FBI is running late tonight and turning over their tape or whatever they do. But I'm going to put this out here, and if not, what I'll do, Caesar, instead of waiting for you to call me, I'll just call back in.
Okay, that's
if
fine.
If my phone hang up. You know, here's the thing, because this is what's among the sisterhood, and this is real talk. Now, this is something I can bear witness to, and I'm not calling no brothers' names. But now, I do know brothers who have chosen a lost found, and this is just real talk. You know, when you're going through the courtship process, getting to know a sister, you know, you go into this relationship or this courtship with the preconceived notion that this sister is a possibility, I mean, is you know, possibly could be my wife. Once we finish this process, we're getting to know each other, and then we'll have a period of time where, you know, we'll make a decision that, yes, we feel that this can work, and we'll go through with the planning of our wedding, this, this, and so. And sometimes it works out beautifully without a problem. And I think those are the most successful marriages. But we're talking real talk. We're talking about what actually happens, and I'm not condoning this, but I'm just saying that it happens. We have brothers, and when we talked about the brothers bringing in the lost found, we have to really understand what is going on there, because 95% of the brothers that I know personally that have done this, they are not adhering to the restrictive laws. And it is not necessarily because they don't have a desire to, but it's because in that relationship, it's not mandated. Even the woman, and I'm speaking to you as a woman. A woman can be very sexually aggressive. I'm gonna give you that one more again, because I don't want to, you know, I'm not beating up on the brothers. A woman can be very sexually aggressive at the lost found. And I've seen it, you know, because they have this behavioral pattern, whereas they use their anatomy as a weapon or as a lure to capture a man's attention. This is the asset that she used. She doesn't know how to use her mind, you know. She doesn't know how to use her intellect. So being in the world, being a lost found, she uses what she feels is her main asset, her pretty smile, her pretty hair, her big butt, her big boobs, whatever she has. She uses that. Some FOI have been known to gravitate to that because they are man. It's nature. You know, it takes a certain type of man with a certain type of training to say, you know what, I can turn a blind eye to this because all of this is superficial, and she is not that MGT that is trained to be that particular woman for this particular type of man. But on the other hand, most times when you see him bringing her in, there's a physical relationship that has already occurred. And most of my sisters are saying that this is the reason that the FOI are pursuing the lost found, because they don't have to adhere to the restrictive laws. So I'm going to ask Brother Abdul, and I hope my phone stays on long enough to hear his answer, about, you know, let's speak to that. Is that true? Have you known that to happen? And what's going on with that, and how frequent is it? Brother Abdul, are you there? Brother Abdul?
Hey, let me ask you a question. Is he a 480 number?
480, uh-huh.
Oh, he's not there. Hold on. You want me to call him back? Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, call him back, and I'll ask Brother Christopher. Brother Christopher, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Okay, so have you, you know, known that to happen?
Not necessarily, no. I'll put it like this. I have heard brothers mentioning that they, you know, of stories of how they knew brothers who have went out, you know, but I never have been interacted with any brothers who've gone out that way. Of course, they haven't told me if they did, you know, but I have heard the stories of sisters, you know, hearing how they feel about that situation. And just what you're telling me, just what you're saying, you know, they feel that it's because of the woman is a worldly woman, and that the brother, the FOI, can, you know, get away with doing whatever without being held accountable, because they feel that that worldly woman is not going to hold that brother up to the standard of which he should be held, you know, as far as being an FOI, being a Muslim, you know. So I have had those conversations with the brothers in the class. We've had those conversations, but none of the brothers talked about their situation of going out. I don't know anybody that has gone out. But I do know brothers who have wanted to go into a courtship who was ready for marriage, but because there was no one inside the mosque that they saw that they was compatible with, they moved to other cities, to other mosques,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to go that way to find, you know, just possibly find a mate. So, you know, that I can't really answer that question, you know, the way you want it, because I don't really know anyone in that situation.
Right, and you know, it's I just want to, yes, go ahead.
Oh, that 480 number phone.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Okay.
Okay, so Brother Abdul, did you hear the question?
Yes, ma'am, I did hear the question, and right now, ma'am, the minister has us on the restrictive law right now, and I think that he's getting us to love the law more than we love our personal desires. And as the FOI goes stronger in the law, the loving of the law, we naturally will get more control over our natural desires. Because I have not yet heard of any brothers that was going for the law of some women because of their beauty or sexuality or something like that. I haven't personally. And I live in Atlanta. And that's, if you know anything about Atlanta, Georgia, that's everyday life. You know, if you, there's women all over the place in Atlanta, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, then you need to step out the mosque. And I see brothers doing that. I tell them that they have an alternative either to conform, come to the mosque, talk to the minister, get to whatever it is off your chest, or you have to leave, you know, because we can't have that in our mosque. So I haven't really noticed that in mosque number 15. Even though I believe that it might be happening, to be honest, truly honest, but it has not come to my attention.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, and Brother Rakim, I'm not going to even ask you. I don't want to know. I really don't want to know. Okay, so we're going to check and see if we have any questions.
No, ma'am, we don't have any questions.
I don't know.
We don't have none in the chat room, and we don't have none audio.
Okay. Okay, well, they did get the call-in number. Okay. All right. So now let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the population, because that is something that I don't think that the MGT have really taken into consideration. And all of you who may be listening, you've been on my prior shows. We've talked about the men being in prison. We've talked about the incarceration rate of the black man. We've also talked about the death statistics of the black man in America, period. Especially due to violent crime. And so as we, you know, of course I had to do my research, and, you know, we outnumber the men 3-1 in the black community. In the Asiatic population of America, we are outnumbering the men 3-1. So we are living in a time where our population cannot even accommodate us in our lifetime, you know, unless we go back to marrying, you know, teenagers or things of that nature. There are not enough men walking around, living and breathing for us to marry. And so, you know, I know we recently had an incident where a brother had taken on a couple of wives, and I don't know if that was the reason, but, you know, I'm not going to even touch on that because I know that's something that we're ready for. We don't have that kind of mindset. And so I just want to hear from the brothers, you know, and then let's be honest, you know, what are those sisters supposed to do? Because the way that is looking and the growth rate of the black population is not such as though, you know, it's not, you can't catch up. So if you have, what, 7 million women between the ages of 25 and 45 that are not married, and it's really more than that. I think it's like more like 9,800,000 that are not married, and they're between the ages of 25 and 45. I'm asking Brother Abdul, you know, what do you say to those sisters? Because it's a possibility that they may not ever get married. And so how do the brothers who are supposed to maintain the black woman, how do you comfort a sister who may be facing that possibility? Because that is a reality.
In that situation that we're facing, sister, it's a real bleak situation, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Yes,
it's going to get worse. Because sooner or later, this serious war is going to come down, and a lot of black men are going to be casualties of war. There's going to be even more sisters that are out there looking for men. I tell them, ma'am, to just pray and put their faith in Allah, and Allah will bless them with the man that will come their way. Because if we start going in any other direction other than putting our faith in Allah, we're going down the path of damnation. So it's a real bleak situation. I tell the brothers, because there's a lot of single brothers in Miles from 15, and I can understand it. I'm trying to figure out something. That's why I really wanted to participate in this, hoping that someone was on the line, because there has to be something done. I believe we must have more social activities right now. That's something that needs to be on the drawing board as of yesterday, to get more and more of our brothers and sisters meeting, to come together to meet in environments that they can then share and express one another, so they can learn about one another. I don't see an end to that question that you gave me, sister, because, like I said, the number is just going to multiply because of the situation that we're in at this moment. And it is very bleak. If anyone can give some insight to this, I see no end to it. I don't see no end to it at all. And the ending that I see coming up, we're not quite prepared for yet as men. The only answer to that, man, would be really for a man to take on more than one wife, but we are not mentally prepared to take on that because we can't handle the women that we have at this time. And that's the only thing I can see that really could solve the problem.
Right, and I have an answer for my sisters, but I'm going to wait.
Thank you.
Brother Christopher, what do you say to that?
About the
decreasing number of black men being available for marriage.
It's a terrible state. I agree with brothers. I mean, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told Mother Tynetta, you know, seek refuge in Allah. And I know that just kind of seems kind of, you know, that's it. You know, but it is going to get worse. And, you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, sisters, you have somebody, you know, you got to hold on to them, you know, as much as you can, you know, overlook some of the slackness that he may be into or whatever that he does or his, you know, his imperfection, you know, because it's going to be rough and there's going to be a time when you're going to want somebody there. And then you're pushing a man away and then eventually there won't be a man available for you. You know, but I also agree with brothers, you know, we have to have more social events in our minds. They have to be social events.
Okay, wait a minute. Brother Abdul, can you mute out your phone for a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. We just can't hear. Go ahead, Brother Christopher.
again, I was just saying that I agree that, you know, there has to be some type of social event, like Brother said, into our regions, into our mosques, into our states, where, you know, the believers can come together, like you said, so we can know each other, know who we're dealing with, who's there, who's available. Because a lot of times, you know, there are people that are looking, but we don't know that they're looking. You know, and I'm going to go back to this, too, because sometimes, you know, sisters may be waiting on a brother to approach them.
Hey, excuse me, hold on, I need everybody to mute out their phones if they're not talking right now. The gentleman is speaking, I need them to stay on tune, but everybody else needs to mute out their phones until you get to ask your questions.
I've unmuted mine.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay, I was just saying, you know, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea for sisters to inquire about courtship of a brother instead of waiting for the brother to inquire about courtship for them. You know, the brother may not know. No, so. That's my
ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you. We have a comment from one of the audience participants. His name, the number is area code 615-615. Your mic is open. You can speak now, ask your question, or make your comment. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to make my comment as brief as possible, and I'm going to have to hang up because I'm on a prepaid phone. My name is Sister Michelle X. Darlene, Mosque Number 12, Philadelphia, PA. Now, brothers, I just have to address a few issues because I haven't heard anybody address them. I don't know if it's because they're not calling in or can't write anything on the chat line. Now, brothers, like one of the things you said when Sister Gidget asked you about what are the sisters are supposed to do about the brothers being in prison, and you said, well, the sisters need to be patient and pray to Allah, wait on Allah. Of course, without a doubt. But when it comes to you brothers going out there getting one of these lost found sisters, you're supposed to use the same guidelines. You're supposed to use the same guideline. You're supposed to wait on Allah. The Holy Quran teaches us a believer is for a believer and a non-believer is for a non-believer. Now, if you're in the mosque and you can't find a sister you're compatible with, I can't fault you on that. But then you can, whatever guidelines apply to us, apply to you also. So when you say these sisters like in Atlanta, they looking good, sisters, they doing what they got to do to get men attention. They doing it day in, day out. Matter of fact, unfortunately, a lot of sisters in the Nation of Islam are feeling so much pressure that they uncovering their heads, uncovering their bodies to get y'all attention because they see you turning towards the lost found. Now, on that note, I don't think my sisters should have to do that. I think they should wait and be patient on Allah for them to give, for Allah to send into their lives the man who is best for them. Because truthfully, if a man is giving into his weaknesses, she don't need a man like that. She need a man that's God-minded. Now, I'm a little, forgive me for being a little emotional, because I'm not angry at y'all. I'm not angry at y'all at all. But what I'm saying is the same patience that applies to us is the same ones you got to use. You need to wait for Allah to send you the Muslim woman that's right for you, not go get no lost found and try to fix her. I got a blood brother who did it with two wives, brought them into the Nation trying to fix them and it's something they not. Neither one of them women loved Elijah, loved the Nation. And when they once he married them, they immediately turned on the heels. So you can keep trying it that way, but I say do it the way of Allah and then you'll be successful.
I can't stand for the comment. I'm on the prepaid, but I love y'all. So I'm like, thank you, Sister Michelle. Can I say something right now?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I hear you. Can I speak on that, Sister Gidget? I got something to say. Because the woman just on right now, it's an honor to have her on the show. I appreciate that. I appreciate you, Sister Darlene, Michelle Darlene X. I appreciate you tuning into our show tonight. We love you. You got. Let me tell you why she has so much determination in her voice. Because she has a show that comes on also. She does a Muslim radio show also. And her show is pretty deep, guys. If you haven't been there, you need to check it out. Sister Dolly,
yeah.
Are you still there? Are you still there?
No, she had to hang up. She had to hang up. But she's
okay.
Listening. She's listening,
okay.
Brother Abdul.
Okay.
So she is listening
okay.
to the response.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to speak to the sister. First, sister, your comment was very well taken. Secondly, I'm in Atlanta, and I said that there are a lot of people here. There are a lot of sisters here that are trying to get the Muslim man. I mean, that's like I'm looking for a man. But like I also said on my statement, if you heard me, I said that that's not what we want. We don't want that. That's not what we're looking for. We want an MGT. That's what we're looking for, MGT. I don't know about, I can't speak for every single brother in the Nation of Islam, but I'll speak about the ones that I associate with. Most of them are married because I try to keep myself around the married brothers because, I mean, there's nothing that a single brother, I'm not going out with single brothers. So I'd be with the married brothers. But the brothers that are in my mind, I have not known any of them to go that direction. Like I said before, they might be, but they keep it away from me. You know what I'm saying? I like mosque number 12. Matter of fact, I attend it when I'm there. I have a house in Philadelphia. But what I'm saying, you never heard me say anything like I think that the brothers have a right to go for lost found. I, if you remember what I said at the beginning of the show, I'm totally against that. I wouldn't want a person that didn't believe as I believe. I wouldn't want a person that didn't go to where I go to worship. I don't want to push that. Don't even play like I play. You know what I'm saying? Because it would be nothing. It's like going uphill with sneakers on. You're not going to make it. So my point that is, my sister, is we don't want lost found women. I don't believe we really do. I believe we want good women that's going to be faithful to us, and I believe that's what we're trying to find. I wish you were still on the line so we can go a little further than what you said, though.
Hey, brother, check it out. Look, check it out, guys. We actually got a caller from 602. 602, you make a comment or ask a question. You're on.
602.
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sister.
Sister Kelmer from Phoenix. Sister Kelmer from Phoenix, Arizona. Professor Kelmer. I was listening, and, you know, this is the first time I decided to ever even... You know, I've been listening for a while, and I am an MGT too, and yes, I do follow the restrictor law, and yes, I am single. But one of the things I've learned, because I've been single for about 20, 30 years, and all praise is due to Allah, one thing that Allah has helped me to do, and this is for the single sisters, and I believe I heard this from Mother Tainetta too, was when you're single, go ahead and become educated, do everything that you have to do. Because one of the things that I've learned to overcome, because I know Allah is going to give me my husband one day, and I'm going to wait on Allah because I'm not going to take anything. If I'm particular about my shoes, I'm going to be particular about the man who I'm with. And I want an FOI who believes the way I do and loves the way I do and practice the way I do. And I'm going to follow the laws of Islam. And I'm going to go check him out, do everything that the minister told me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. But in the meantime, because we're in the meantime, and this is just a time, sisters, that we're here because Allah is preparing that man for us, that individual for us. But in the meantime, we go to work. And so when I come home, I'm so exhausted. The last thing I want to think about is some man because Allah got me so busy doing the works in the nation and outside of the nation, I don't have time to think about, oh, woe is me. Okay? So what I'm saying to my sisters who are single, because I've been there and I'm still there, and it's been over, you know, like 20, 30 years, but I believe in Master Farad Muhammad, and he said he's going to make the best for me, and I'm going to trust him and obey him and do what I believe he told me to do. So in the meantime, go to work. Do what you got to do, because when you become married, we're not going to be able to do the same things that we used to do when we were single. I'm educated. I'm about ready to get my doctorate degree. I'm running a small little school. I'm working in the nation. I'm working outside the nation. So don't worry about what's out there, because the brothers that come in there, like we always say, whatever you were before you came into the nation, it's the same way you are going to be when you're in the nation. So if you don't want to change your old habit, that's not the brother for you. And that's the same thing with the sister. If she's going in there to look for a husband, then that's what probably she'll get, is a husband, but not a man of God. So we shouldn't have to worry about those things. I mean, it is a struggle, but struggle is ordained. And so we're going to fight and continue and believe and have faith in Allah. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much. I'm going to put myself back on mute.
Thank you, ma'am, for coming online.
And you know, let me just say this and get this out of the way, because that sister, she touched on just what I was about to say, and you know, and like her doing it is not necessarily an easy task. But let me speak to this from a clinical side, because I'm a counselor. I'm a marriage counselor. I counsel on family and cultural issues. I counsel on sexual abuse. And let me just tell you from a clinical state of what I'm seeing. Our sisters are in a state of loneliness. And a state of loneliness is a mental health issue, which means that she is feeling inadequate because of her loneliness. And, you know, she shouldn't, that's not the norm. That's not what Allah wants for us. So when we say that Allah is sufficient for us, we can't just be cliche about that. We can't just be saying that and not knowing that and not living that. And I'm telling you this because Sister Gidja knows. I have been single and celibate for 7 years, and it has been a process. And the process of letting Allah be sufficient for me is to allow Him to come in and fulfill my spirit. So when we are in a state of loneliness, yes.
Sister Gidja, can you hold on for a second?
Yes.
This is what I need everybody to do. I need you to mute out your phones, guys, because I can all that. I can everything you're doing. I can hear it right now on the switchboards. So that sounds really foul. So I need you guys to mute out your phones if you're not talking. If your name's not Sister Gidja, you guys need to mute out your phones. Even the guests. Now I'll tell you guys you can move back in. Sister Gidja will let you know when your turn is. She'll call and you pick your name. So I need all you guys to mute your phones out, because I'm hearing a lot of static back there, and you still haven't done it. Thank you, Sister Gidja. Go ahead, guy. I'm sorry.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you,
Susan. We got a lot of people online, so we need to get that right when we have a lot of people online, because that means that everybody can hear the words that come out of my mouth. So if you guys are not part of the panel, if you're online right now, I already got you guys on mute that are not part of the panel. But I need the panel basically to silence their phones, because then we can hear everything Sister Gidja has to say when the people come back and prototype these shows. Because these shows are recorded. They're syndicated through Nation Billing. We own everything right here. These are all our shows. So what we can do is we can promote these shows. When the show is over, we can send these shows out as basically some kind of instrumental, fundamental thing that the people can hear to learn from us what we got going on, because Sister Gidja has a lot of knowledge, and you guys got a lot of knowledge. So in order to spread your knowledge, we need to have pure silence. You dig? Okay, thank you, Steve.
Okay, so I'm still hearing some noise. Brother Abdul, did you mute out your phone? Can you put your phone on mute? Okay. Okay, so you know,
I'm on the line.
Okay, because I think that noise is coming from you. I think y'all don't know if you outside
now. No, I'm in my
okay.
house and nobody's in here but me. That's not my noise.
Okay.
Inside.
Okay. Okay. Well, I just want to finish the statement, you know, and I want my sisters to know that, you know, it's not impossible. But when you are feeling lonely, and when you are feeling inadequate, and when you are feeling a disconnect, there's a spiritual growth that needs to take place in you to fill that void. So when we say that Allah is sufficient for us, that is a process. It is a way of life. Whereas Allah, who loves you and cares for you, does not want you in a state of longing. And so that state of loneliness is a mental health condition, whether you want to own it or not. That's what it is. Being lonely is a period of time, but being in a state of loneliness is a mental health condition, and it's because you have not learned how to allow Allah to be sufficient for you. And if you are a believer and you believe that Allah will provide all of your needs, trust and believe me as a witness sitting here telling you that He will. And, you know, I don't have those problems. I don't have those problems of feeling inadequate. I don't feel rejected. I'm not mad at the FOI. I'm not bitter at my ex-husbands, with an S. You know, Allah is sufficient for me. And so, and this is what I want for my sisters, because I know you all are hurting, but I'm telling you why you're hurting. You're not hurting because the FOI are not choosing you. You're not hurting because the FOI are out there choosing lost found. You're hurting because you have not allowed Allah to be sufficient for you. And Allah needs to be sufficient for you whether you are married or not. So there is a spiritual growth that has to take place within the woman. And as Brother Abdul and Brother Christopher pointed out, that, you know, the times that we're in that time. And we're in the time where Allah is making women. He's making us to be self-sufficient in a lot of ways, but He is sufficient for us. So we have to go into that thinking, because the reality is, sisters, that when I look at the numbers of what the population is of original people in this country, we are outnumbering men 3-1. And it is a great possibility that all of us, you know, most of us, you know, will not find a husband. And so I just wanted to make that point, because I don't know how many minutes we have, but I wanted to get that out before we go on further. So I'm going to check one more time for questions, and then we're going to move on. So, Cesar, are there any questions on the line?
Yes. 210, you can make your question, ask your question or make a comment now. 210. You can make a comment now. Ask your question, please. Okay, 210 hung
okay.
up.
Okay.
I think we got another number. I don't know if I already called on this number right here. 602. You got a question? Make a comment.
That's Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
Hello, I think I made my comment already.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you, sister.
Can I just say one thing, though? Sister, yep. You did say that, you know, it's a lot of sisters are out there and they're feeling the loneliness. Yeah, there is a lot of us, but there's many of us who are striving, and that Allah has been, and with through prayer. And I'm telling you, prayer works a lot. And Allah has been answering a lot of our prayers. Now, I do agree with you that it's, you know, from three women to one man. But there is no polygamy in the Nation of Islam. All praise is due to Allah, and it's not going to be praise be to Allah. You know, so we need to get that on the table and nip that in the butt and get that out the door. Because if Allah said He's going to make a man for us, then we need to wait on Allah to make that man for us. There's billions and billions of people in the world, but Allah finds ways where He can make it, where He can feed all of us. All of us are being fed. And so as the sisters have to wait on a good man, a man has to wait on a good sister too. So Allah is building us both up. And if we listen to the speech Brother Minister Farrakhan talked about on Sunday with the restricted laws, he's not playing when it comes to that. And we have to be ready, and we have to be striving in those restrictive laws too. And as one of the brothers said too, we have to fall in love with the law. And once we fall in love with the law, we become the law, and then we master those aching needs and so forth. And you know, as you were saying to yourself, that you've been celibate for so many years, you're mastering. You have mastered something. Yes, we get there where we have those aching needs, but we're learning to master self, and that's what we have to do, is master self and rise into the higher thinking of Allah too. So you know, I'm going to put myself on hold. But I don't. What I'm saying is, it's not every sister have that aching need, because we're mastering self and we're waiting on Allah, and Allah is going to find that mate for each one of us. And we just can't just sit there and say, you know, well, what's going on with the brothers in the prison and stuff, because I kid you not, that's not going to be for me, because I am the best. And I'm not saying the brothers in the prison is not the best, but I know what Allah is going to have in store for me, and I'm just going to wait on Him. And if it have to be where I'm 60 or 80 years old, then that's what I'm going to do. May Allah bless you all.
Yes, ma'am, sister. Thank you so much for your comment. And she is correct. Some of us are mastering, but there are many of us that have not and don't know how to start. And sister hit on a point that I was about to make, that prayer is very significant, because prayer develops your personal relationship with Allah. So I'm going to move on, and I want to know, Brother Abdul, are you there? Brother Abdul, can you mute back in? Brother Christopher, are you there? Brother Christopher?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir, I can hear you now. Okay, so let me ask you, because, you know, I just figure, you know, I don't know, that FOI kind of talk about things amongst each other more so than they do the MGT, which is another point that you brought up about more social events. And I was going to get to that. That's next on my list, as a matter of fact. But I wanted to talk about the sisters who have children already. Mm. And I just want to know, from your consensus, from what you've heard from the FOI, who may be looking to get married, are they more likely to reject sisters with children?
Sister,
or
Gibson,
is it just an even
playing
field with that?
Sister Gidge, you have a question from a caller.
Okay, just hold on. Let me ask this question, and then we'll take that caller. So are the sisters with children being more rejected, or is that an even playing field?
From my experience in dealing with the brothers who I dealt with, the brothers who have children are, you know, they don't have a problem with
what is that noise?
But brothers who, most brothers who I know who don't have children, they're not looking at women who have, you know, two or three or four children. You know, it's basically like not even a picture. They ain't even trying to feel that, you know. But the ones who have children, they don't have a problem with, you know, marrying a sister and having that blended family.
Okay. And Brother Abdul, what about you? Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
I married my wife. I'm married to now. I had 9 children before I married her. So, you know, in this world, realistically speaking, you're not going to find too many sisters that don't have children in this world right here. Not too many at all. They're having children in school now, 13, 14, 15 years old. You know? So when the people come to the nation and a man marries a woman, I play when a man marries a woman, he marries a woman for everything that she has. Everything becomes a part of him, her children or whatever. And I don't think that's a real problem as far as having children with the men that I associate with, because you just can't go about it. So I mean, women have babies already that are in the mouth, coming into the mouth. That's something that the brothers really just overlook. They more so look at the character of the sister and how the sister's going to treat him. And the brothers that have family, we had a discussion after every mosque meeting that we have in Atlanta. We have another meeting on male females. What we're talking about now, we had that meeting again at 2 o'clock. Brother Sharif has opened that forum up to us. And then one of the things that he spoke about was mixed families. And he had told us how we should go about when you get a mixed married couples come together and they have mixed families, that the first thing that they should do is everybody should sit down with all the children should be at the table together, and they should discuss, you know, what their relationship is and how they're going to be related to the man and the woman and stuff and their relationships and stuff, which we found to be very useful because I had to do that myself due to the fact that I'm 61, my wife is 51, and she had nine children when I met her. So the children that she met with her, I had to meet them and deal with all of them, you know. And we have pretty good relationships, you know. Sometimes we might hit a bump here and there, but primarily we smooth it out pretty good. But, you know, I mean, it's going to have to be accepted. The brothers are going to have to take on that responsibility of a sister with all the children and likewise with sisters. I don't think we're going to be able to go around that one, sister.
Yes, sir. And Brother Rakim, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
Okay, Brother Rakim, you being a single brother, are you, you know, I know you personally, but I'm going to just let you put it out there. So how are you looking at the sisters with children, and what have you heard other single brothers say about sisters with children?
Well, sister, I can't tell you what brothers say about children. Most of the brothers I know, most of the brothers I associate with are actually married, or you know, there's a few single brothers that I deal with, but I don't get into personal. We're not on that level. We never talk like that. So, me personally, for children are concerned, me personally, I have no problem with a sister with children. If they're well mannered, you know, a sister with children are well mannerable. That's a beautiful thing. I love children.
Okay, all right. So, Caesar, do we still have a question on the line?
Yes, ma'am. We have a question from 507. 507. You can ask your question or make your comment.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam. And what's your name, brother?
Brother Mustafa. How you doing, Sister Gidget?
Oh, wa alaikum salam, Brother Mustafa. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, sister. Alhamdulillah. Just enjoying the show and enjoying the comments being made by the panelists and being made by the sisters that are calling in. And it's always a joy to hear what the brothers and the sisters, the believers, have to say about their experiences on the show here tonight. I would just like to share my comment that I made earlier this week on the website, and that was pretty much in regard to you, the statistic that you just gave with the sisters being three sisters available, and I'm not sure if your statistic was three black women to one black male or three believing black sisters to one believing black male. I'm not sure.
No, sir, that's a general population.
Okay, just a general population. I would probably say, just in my mind, from what I've seen out on the streets, I was born and raised in the Gary, Chicago area, and I live in Minnesota. right now, and I've done a little traveling to some major cities here in the country, and I would say that the statistics, I think, are probably a little bit greater than that. But I, you know, as I look at my own personal situation as a believing Muslim man who is striving to find correction in my deen and striving to seek the pleasure of Allah by, you know, adhering to the restrictive laws of Islam, I would say that, you know, it appears that for a believing man to just have one wife, as Allah says in the Quran, that it is better for the man to take only one wife, if only he knew. And I do believe that, and I do know that there were the prophets, Prophet Muhammad and the other prophets, you know, were allowed to take more than one wife, but that was based on certain conditions. And I agree that, you know, brothers have to learn to take one wife and do good with one wife before you can look at trying to take on more. And I think it's a very complex situation that we're discussing here tonight, and I don't think that this conversation can be solved in one sitting or one conversation. So I just wanted to add my two cents in here, and I'm going to take my comment off the radio. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Brother Mustafa. And to speak to what he was saying, in the Quran, it does say that under certain conditions, polygamy was allowed. However, we have to look at the condition of our people. And as that was, you know, back in that day, we are having to be resurrected to another degree, to an elevated place, in order for us to even get into that mindset. And so as we are being reconditioned from what the slave master has made us, we are far, 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 far away from that. And so it's not suitable at this time, based on our condition and what we've been through and how our nature has been stripped of us. So we have to get back to the nature in which Allah created us first before we're able to elevate to such places where Allah deems it so that we're capable and ready for polygamy. And we are so far away from that because we are struggling to be married, number one, and to stay married, number two, because let's look at it. The divorce rate 2 years ago was 50%. But as of 2011, it's 52%, and that's with everybody, every race, color, creed, breed, whatever you want to call it. That's across the board. So there is a lack of unison among the human family. And so we are not ready for that yet, but I can't say what the future holds. I have my place. But thank you, Brother Mustafa, for calling in with that comment. And I want to get to, okay, that was the one with children. And this is the one, okay, that was another one. Okay, a sister asked me about the brothers. Now, brothers, this is for all of you. So, Brother Abdul, Brother Christopher, and Brother Rakim. Okay, how'd this go? Okay, so we're in the mosque, and a sister has been married. A sister is now divorced from a brother that's in the same mosque, you know. And so how awkward is it for you to go into courtship or marry a sister who was once married to an FOI that maybe you're friendly with. Maybe there's a deeper thing than the FOI brotherhood there. Maybe you're friends, you know, whether it's in passing or I don't think you would do your best friend, ex-wife, but, you know, I'm just saying, how, is that awkward? Is that a deterrent when there's a close knit of the brotherhood and the sister was once married to brother so-and-so and now she's single, very qualified, beautiful sister, but you just kind of stand off from her because she was married to an FOI? Brother Christopher, I'm going to let you go first. Can you answer that for us?
I won't say the mosque or the study group, but I've known a mosque study group that went through a situation like that, and it was kind of rough, and there was a lot of fighting back and forth. You know, a sister was married to a brother in the mosque, and they got divorced, and then she married another brother, and her ex-husband married a sister, and then so they all was going at it, you know, and it basically kind of spread throughout the mosque, and there was a lot of fighting in the mosque. So, I mean, as believers, man, we have to be very mature in that situation. And there has to be conversations between, you know, if the sister that I want to get in a courtship was the ex-wife or one of the brothers, you know, me and the brother have to sit and talk. You know, we have to be open and honest with that situation. You know, if a conversation never happens, and there's going to be problems, you know, because we're always going to be speculating what the brother may be thinking or saying, or, you know, we have to be real and straight up to each other and talk and conversate about it, you know, and see if it's going to be a problem, you know, and, you know, don't want to leave the mosque or, you know, or go to another city, but, you know, in some cases that may have to be the choice to make, you know, in order for there to be peace. But, you know, it has to have some conversation. And, you know, right now, you know, I don't know of a personal situation in our mosque where that's happening, but I do know of a mosque or a study group where that happened just recently. So.
Yes, sir. And Brother Abdul?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm glad you asked that question because the sister that I'm married to has nine children. She has seven children by the brother that was in our mosque. When we first started courting, he was the captain of the mosque. And my wife was the captain of the mosque also. Both of them were captains, and they were ex-husband and wife, and I was courting her. And we had you have to be an adult in how you conduct yourself at all times. Because I am thankful to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad giving us the restrictive laws and our general orders, because between the two of those, if you really follow them, you can get through almost anything. And me and the brother dealt with each other on the levels of a captain and a FOI, and me and his wife, we were respectful because of that. And I found out that by not rubbing things in people's faces, you can get much farther than you know, front your. You know, I'm with your wife. You know, that to me is very childish and silly. So, you know, we just kept it on a professional level. And then we came out here and we moved out to Atlanta and got married in Atlanta. But we courted. My whole courtship was done in the mosque in New Jersey. So we were, like, you know, constantly in contact with the three of us because we were all working the mosque. We all did that. So we kept ourselves to mosque business. My wife kept herself to her post, what she did. And that's how we conduct ourselves. And in the mosque, we're professionals. And if you're an officer, you're a professional. You got to conduct yourself as an officer in the mosque. And there's no bias or prejudice in mosque activity. So as we came through, because we all were adults. I would like to have seen this if we were younger, but we were all, you know, above 50. So we managed it quite well. I have no animosity towards him. He has no animosity towards me. So we have conducted quite well.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. And last, Brother Rakim, would that be awkward for you?
Sister, this is what I will say. And all praises due to Allah, that Brother Abdul
No, that's not Brother Abdul. The brother was that Brother Chris?
That was Brother Abdul that just spoke.
Brother Abdul, okay. Brother Abdul just got to speak. All praise is due to Allah that that situation worked for you. But I will say this, and Brother Abdul's situation is very rare. That's a rare situation. That's a beautiful situation that he found himself in. But it does not work like that for every situation. So
that's true.
I wouldn't advise everybody to follow in Brother Abdul's footsteps because those footsteps may not be footsteps that you want to walk in, and it may not be the same situation. I say Allah is not the author of confusion. So the house of God should not be the house of confusion. And due to the fact that we still operate on Negro with a Negro mentality, a lot of us, that is something that a lot of us cannot handle. I would not be in a situation like that where I gotta. I don't want to be in a situation where I gotta look at a brother that was married to this sister. Now, if you was in courtship with a sister, that's a totally different thing. You courtship and there was no inappropriate acts between the two. That's a totally different thing. But for as married, sleeping together, and I'm looking at this brother. Oh no, me personally. I cannot deal with that sister, and I would not advise any brother to deal with that or sister because, like I said, it causes a lot of confusion, and there are way too many single brothers and sisters inside the mosque for you to have to deal with that type of situation. I mean, like the brother said, if you got to move outside, go to another city, I think that would be more appropriate. Even though some people don't, they may not have the funds to pack up and just leave. But if you deal, especially if you're in a small mosque, I would say in a small mosque that should not be done. If you're in a large mosque, you're in mosque number one, number two, number three, whatever, big city, maybe, but not a small mosque. Not a mosque with 30, 40 members in it. Nah,
I agree. I
agree. Yes, sir. Okay, listen, y'all. We are at the time. Our show is over. But before we go, we want to wish DJ Black Caesar a happy birthday tomorrow. We love you, brother. We appreciate you, and we pray that Allah bless you to enjoy your birthday, and we are thankful to Allah that you are here amongst us celebrating your birthday. For those of you who may not know DJ Black Caesar, he is a walking, living miracle with all the medical things that he's been through. So, brother, you having another birthday is a blessing, and may Allah continue to bless you, and we wish that you enjoy your birthday tomorrow. And you're off tomorrow, so you don't have to be bothered with me.
Thanks, Sister Gita. I appreciate that. That's wonderful, and I thank everybody for thanking me for my birthday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Brother Abdul for coming on the show and being so willing. I want to thank Brother Christopher for coming on the show, even though I had to twist his arm and step on his neck and threaten to break his leg. But thank you, Brother Christopher. You did a magnificent job, and you were so on point with everything you said. So I told you it was not going to be difficult. So, Brother, thank you for sharing yourself with us. And Brother Abdul, thank you for sharing your wisdom. And thank you for your tenure in the nation. Brother Rakim, as always, my ace boom, my twin soul. Brother, thank you for always having Sister back. Thank you, Brother DJ Black Caesar. Thank you, Sister Michelle Darlene and the sister from Arizona. I didn't catch her name. The phone was going in and out, but thank you for your coming. Thank you, Brother Mustafa. Thank you, Sister Marilyn, all of you who are listening online. I leave you as I came, one nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.